Welcome back to the game. John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling. We'll talk with Kevin Haskin from the Topeka Capital Journal here in just a moment. He was the one asking the questions, for the most part, of Bill Snyder last night at the Topeka Capbacker event. Got confirmation as we just played in the open there that Bill Snyder had lost his cool when he made the comments he did at the Kansas City Capbacker event. We'll play the match game at 5:25. And Bill Snyder, some glowing comments on Jesse Ertz at 4:40. You know, I wonder if Phil Steele had heard those comments. Maybe now he would rush to print a different story here, a different ranking on Jesse Ertz and the Cats that he heard these comments about.
Sure. I'm going to go with probably not. But
well, he needs to update it anyway because Bob Stoops is no longer the head coach at Oklahoma.
So right.
You know, he might as well just do some tweaking. Well, he already got it back in the works.
He did have Bill Snyder, because, you know, in those position rankings, they include coach as well. He did have Bill Snyder 1 in this version in which Bob Stoops is still in the Big 12. So
there we go.
There's that.
There we go. Well, let's welcome in Kevin Haskin, columnist from the Topeka Capital Journal. Kevin, appreciate the time as always. I know you've had a relationship with Bill Snyder for a long time, and I'm curious for your perspective then on everything that happened with this Corey Sutton saga. What was the biggest takeaway for you from all that?
The biggest takeaway, I suppose, is a coach who's been in this business a long time. And I believe Snyder when he says, you know, he believes there's a four-year commitment from the kid, and he's providing the kid a four-year commitment. And to Snyder, I think that means something, dating back to whenever it was he got into coaching, and your word was your bond sort of thing back then. Now, I don't have any problem with guys leaving and transferring. Coaches leave all the time, and I think that's okay for a player to do so too, but I think from the perspective of where Bill Snyder was coming from on that, I kind of get it. Now, there were some other things he said that, he went too far, obviously, and, you know, he's apologized for that. He was, he's contrite about it again last night at the Capbacker's function in Topeka. So I'm willing to, the guy's done quite a bit for Kansas State. I'm willing to give him a pass on this one, and I'll throw in too. I think the way Gene Taylor handled it too was exceptional. He exerted his authority and his leadership rather quickly, and doused what had become a firestorm of sorts.
Well, I certainly am with you that I am willing to give Bill Snyder obviously a pass in a situation like this. But that, you know, the surprising part about it is just hearing him, in his words, lose his cool. He's always so under control and so meticulous about everything that he's saying, and it's like pulling teeth to get information out of him. I mean, do we read much into the fact that this did happen here and now?
Yeah, and it set off a nerve. You know, I kind of got to thinking about that, and sometimes when things aren't scripted for Bill and he's not in his 30-minute session on a Tuesday or post-game or on the Big 12 phoner, he can be a little more loose with his comments, and we've seen that too. We've gone to Big 12 media days in Dallas, and this time I think he let his temper get a little bit the best of it. But this is also, you know, I'm not comparing the two situations, but you remember the Pat Roberts thing too,
right?
So you know, there's been maybe a handful of past incidents where something like this occurred, maybe not as serious a comment when, you know, he throws out, you know, the failing of two drug tests, you know, out there too. But I don't read into it, if you will, that, you know, he's you know, getting old and feeble and maybe senile or what have you or anything like that. I think he's still got his faculties and everything else. I just think he misspoke and got a little perturbed by what was going on, and talking about a player too who called him a slave master on Twitter. I'm sure he wasn't too happy about that either, and kind of got dragged into something that he regrets, you know, kind of getting in the mud on.
Kevin, in this this era that we're in now with social media and everything like that, everybody can share their opinion, come up with the hot takes, et cetera. And we saw with this whole situation some national media outlets that said that they had lost a lot of respect for Bill Snyder, that they did think of him differently. Do you think there has been any legitimate damaging to Snyder's reputation as a result of this, or has that all been washed over now?
You know, I guess we'll have to wait and see. I mean, I think some people will bring it up, obviously, when the season starts. I'm sure it's going to be asked about it at Big 12 Media Days and, you know, at other functions before the season starts. But I really think if you do that, you're not looking at the total picture of what Bill Snyder meant, not only to football, but Kansas State University as a whole, even Manhattan, Kansas. So I think if some of these national types might kind of regroup and think it through a little bit, they'll realize there's a guy there who's done a lot of good things too, and you know he deserved criticism for what he did, but I think it is possible to move on from this.
Yeah, 100% agree with you there. We're talking with Kevin Haskin from the Topeka Capital Journal here on the game. You know, it's the Bob Stoops situation that happened with Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley taking over immediately. Maybe I'm reading too much into this, but it seems to me there's some parallels between what some have speculated about. Hey, if Bill Snyder were to step aside right before the season started and have Sean Snyder take over as head coach, that's essentially what Stoops did here with Lincoln Riley, putting them in no position to go out and find any other coach. Do you think there's any possibility of that happening this year?
Well, I think it all depends maybe on Bill's health a little bit, too. I mean, if he doesn't get a good report or something kind of backfires or some kind of relapse, I mean, yeah, we could definitely see that sort of thing. And the timing of it would be such that it would be a difficult situation on the athletic director, new athletic director, in fact, to make the next hire. I don't think you're forced, actually, to hire from within. I was a little surprised Oklahoma did what it did. I really thought maybe it could go outside and at least take a look at some guys, open it up for a while. I know players are on campus and enrolled in summer school and that sort of thing, but I was surprised they went ahead and made the quick hire they did. Interestingly, you know, I asked Bill about that last night, and he did mention the timing of that move by Bob Stoops sort of forcing Oklahoma's hand. I didn't use that quote in the column I wrote, but he did mention it. And, you know, I felt, just like you said, it's kind of an interesting parallel to the talk about Sean Snyder taking over if Bill were to happen to step down.
Kevin, the last couple days we've been talking about how the Stoops news really leaves Bill Snyder as the last surviving member of the good old days of the Big 12, and you have seen the good old days of the Big 12, obviously up close and personal through the course of your career. How surprising is it to you that Bill Snyder is really the guy that kind of stands alone now, connecting the late 90s, early 2000s to the present?
Well, thanks for not saying that. I also saw the good old days of the Big 8. and was born when the Big 7 was around. So, although I love the Big 8 and always will. But, that's interesting that he is, you know, he is kind of the one connection now to you know, what started up as the Big 12. And we were all pretty excited, I think, you know, in terms of, okay, what do we got here? We got these four Texas schools combined with every Big 8 school, and they're going to divide this into divisions, and, you know, it's going to be really, really kind of interesting to get to see, especially Texas, come into, you know, what was then KSU Stadium, and also get to go down to Austin and play them. But Texas A&M was also in the league, and man, what a great atmosphere that is on a football weekend too. And you're right, it's pretty striking now that Bill's the one guy left around, and I can guarantee he wasn't the youngest coach in the Big 12 when the league, the inception of that league, either.
Kevin Haskin talking with us from the Topeka Capital Journal. we've been talking a lot the last few days about Bob Stoops and just his connections to K-State, the Bill Snyder coaching tree. A lot of Bob Stoops really reflects upon Bill Snyder. And I think if you're a K-State fan, maybe it's water under the bridge to some now, but the Bob Stoops relationship has to be somewhat complicated. I'm sure there is some pride in what he's been able to do and the fact that he helped start the K-State program. But what I'm curious to ask you about is the other thing that's always stuck in my mind. Now, I was 9 years old when this happened, but I remember it, and I have a borderline obsession with that 98 K-State team. Is there a legitimate reason to hold a grudge for taking the coaches there and the timing of when those coaches were plucked to go to Oklahoma? Because I know the conspiracy theory was always that could have played a role in losing the 98 A&M game.
Yeah, and it could have. I mean, especially, you know, and Bill's been quoted on it too, when he's looked back and said, you know, maybe the better move would have been just to let the coaches leave, although at the time he had two guys that intended to leave, Mike Stoops and Brent Venables, and then Mark Mangino followed suit after that. I guess people will hold that grudge. I know from talking to Bob, I think truly serious when he says he has fond memories of Manhattan. I know he still has friends in Manhattan. I got a couple of emails from K-State fans who, you know, expressed, you know, they were kind of curious, okay, is he doing it for health reasons? And we're a little worried about that to that effect. I mean, because they remember him at K-State and being a, you know, heck of an assistant. Man, what a great defensive staff that was with him and Jim Leavitt, the guy that kind of gets forgotten, was the defensive coordinator, the first one under Bill, named Bob Cope, who died of cancer, unfortunately. But, you know, he sort of molded those guys himself a little bit, too. And Bill Latimer was around back then also. But, I understand the grudge thing, but keep in mind, too, I mean, Bob was going to invite, you know, he's going to have his brother join him, and also, you know, Brent being pretty close to the Stoops brothers, he was going to go down there too, and then Mark followed, and that was a bit of a surprise. But you know, all three of those guys too have had fabulous careers and done quite well.
Well, Kevin, appreciate the time in joining us here. I enjoyed reading the column that you had up about last night talking with Bill Snyder. Sure, we'll be talking with you soon. Enjoy the summer.
Yeah, you guys too. Not far, not long before football starts, so gear up for it again.
That's right. Not much longer to work on that golf game.
That's right. So, hey, I've given up working on it. I just have fun now. Try to.
There you go. We'll talk to you later, Kevin.
Okay, see you guys.
There's Kevin Haskin from the Topeka Capital Journal with us here on The Game. I do have some thoughts on that complicated relationship with Bob Stoops for K-State fans at 5:10. When we come back, though, some comments from Bill Snyder last night will get you fired up for next year. I can pretty much guarantee that. That's next on The Game.